On this glorious Easter morning, I want to wish you the very best of this Easter season, especially on behalf of our pastor, Father DiMartino, my colleague, Father Belli, and Deacon Benesek. Again, on behalf of Father DiMartino, we extend our gratitude to all of our liturgical ministers, from our choir, who leads us so beautifully in song throughout these days of Lent and the Triduum, our servers, our ushers, our readers, and all those who help to make these days possible. We think also of our sacristans and our masters of ceremonies as well. I think when you come to Mass sometimes, you may just think that these things just happen, but you don't realize that during the week, we have practice, we have rehearsal upon rehearsal, and we try to do our best to make these liturgies as solemn as possible so that we can be free to pray. This Easter Sunday, we will take time after this homily to renew our baptismal promises because there is a fundamental relationship between that sacrament and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection, which is not, by the way, merely the resuscitation of a dead body, but rather Jesus taking on a new dimension of existence. Those graces are extended to you and to me in the waters of baptism through what we call spiritual regeneration. So we celebrate our rebirth in Christ Jesus, who has overcome death and the grave. When we were baptized, we too were received that initial down payment for our salvation. Last night at the Easter Vigil, which is the principal liturgy of the church's calendar, a liturgy that has been celebrated in the church for over 1,970 consecutive years. We baptized 15 persons and welcomed a total of 26 new Catholics to our ranks. It was indeed glorious. And I share with you what I shared with them, some questions about what we're doing here this morning. We may ask, why do we do all of this? Why are we here? Why is God so generous with us that he would share his very inner life with us, and in particular with those who were brought into the church just last evening? We turn to St. Augustine, the great bishop of North Africa in the 5th century, who summarized this quite beautifully. He said, God became man so that man might become God. God became man so that man might become God. God became man for this very reason, and he gave us the sacrament of baptism and the Eucharist in order to accomplish it. Of course, when I say this, we don't mean that we become like little gods. That would be blasphemy. But we do share, by participation, in the one divine nature of God. But it is true. St. Augustine's claim should shock us because we seldom realize the purpose of our faith, to become God. Our culture, sadly, has a very truncated view of religion. Some see religion simply as a code of ethics or a system of morality. And according to this thinking, all religions are basically the same. They're just a way of keeping people well-behaved. The elements of religion just become, therefore, merely sociological realities. Faith becomes optimism. Creed, well, just an opinion. And baptism, and any sacrament for that matter, becomes only really a ceremony or a rite of passage. Morality would be merely a way of behaving in this world, and prayer just an exercise in self-reflection. But our baptism reminds us that the Catholic faith is not just a matter of doing good, it is a matter of being good, and even greater than that, of becoming God. So that man might become God, everything in our faith has this ultimate goal. The Catholic life consists in allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us gradually into Christ. Baptism places divine life in our souls. We are tasked with the enormous job and sometimes burden of allowing this divine life to grow to its fullness. Holy Mother Church gives us the creed so that we can think with the mind of God. The sacraments, for their part, nourish, heal, and increase God's life within us. By Christian morality, we live in this world the way God would and did in the person of His Son. And by prayer, we enter into conversation with the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Blessed Cardinal John Henry Newman, the great convert of the 19th century, describes well the complete transformation that must occur in each of us because we are baptized. He said, and I quote, "Your whole nature must be reborn. Your passions and your affections and your aims and your conscience and your will must all be bathed in a new element and reconsecrated to your Maker. And the last, but not the least, your intellect as well." This process of man becoming like God, it is sometimes called divinization, it never ends. It must extend to every aspect of our being. All of us, the entire of us, our body and our soul, must become God. You may be familiar with this quote. It's from the epic novel, A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. He once said, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way." I think it's safe to say that this quote aptly describes the contemporary landscape of the church and our country at this precise time in history when there is so much hostility towards our faith in particular and people of faith in general from the current presidential administration. I admire the persons who came into the church last night. I told each of them, of all the times to pick to become a Catholic, oh my goodness, really? How bold, how audacious. And I exhorted them last night, and I exhort you to be the same, to be prudent, vigilant, and ardent followers of the Lord Jesus, strengthened by His word, empowered by the sacraments, and confident in the hope that the resurrected Jesus Christ promises us. None of us knows what lies ahead, but we do know one thing for sure. Jesus Christ is victorious. The outcome has already been decided. Good triumphs over evil. The good will receive the reward and the evil will be punished. Death is no longer the final word. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is with us in His church, and He will never abandon us, for He remains with us always until the end of the age. My brothers and sisters, let us turn to the resurrected Christ with confidence on this day, fully aware of the perils that await us all. And let us be mindful and vigilant that it is by keeping our eyes on Christ that we will ultimately receive the prize of everlasting glory. O Mary, conceived without sin,